be reading Romans 16 and 17. To preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For the gospel of righteousness from God is revealed, righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Thank you, Paul.
Preach the word, Daniel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, isn't it a good day to be a Christian? Do you know of a bad day to be a Christian? That's a rhetorical question, isn't it? Good to see you. Great to see you this morning. Let me get all my ducks in a row here and get all my stuff. I've got papers hanging everywhere. Okay. Hey, you know, I generally lead into a sermon with an illustration, right? If you've been listening, you know that generally I do that. Well, today I want to do that, and I want to use the kiddos. So what I'm going to do is, I want all the kids to come down front, but before we get into the illustration, I thought about this. I thought about reminding us of this verse in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, the disciples of Jesus start arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus calls a little child unto himself, and he says, unless you become changed, or converted, the NAS says, and become like one of these little children, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jesus points out the importance of including children in the things of heavenly, in his kingdom. And I believe, church, I want you to understand, I think that our children here are an asset to God.
Amen.
I think they're a blessing, and if you've never been to a church that didn't have children, it's a sad thing, okay? So if you're a little child, Engel, you're not a little child. Not yet. If you're a little kid, I want you to come up here, and we're going to do a little something. We're going to have a prayer for you. Matter of fact, let's have the elders come up. Would the elders come up here? All you little kids, come on. Yeah, Lance, you guys, come on up here. Over here. Everybody come over here, okay? Because afterwards, I'm going to need you to be over here. Yeah, come on up there, Paul. Logan, Eliana. Everybody come over here. Oh, here comes one. Preston. Oh, here comes some more. All right. Hey, wait a minute. I see some kids on the back that's not coming. Q-Ray?
I'll be right back.
Q-Ray, come on up here. I want you to be involved in this. Ryan, you and Cameron, come on up here. We're shopping. You want to come up with us? Here's one, Joe. Joe, you want your boy to come up with us? You can or not? Okay. Brother Engel's still rounding up some of the herd. Hey guys, we as a church want you to know that we love you. And we want you to know that God loves you too, and we want to have a prayer for you. Let's all get down on one knee together, okay? Let's ask Brother David Engel. say a prayer on your behalf, okay?
Just ask that you bless these children, Father. We thank you for the three additions that we have, Braylon, Elizabeth, and Dakota. Just ask that you bless those, Father. We ask that you bless with the mothers who are expecting. I watch over them, Father. Thank you for the innocence that these children have and the example that we get from them. We should be humble like them, Father. Help us to know the responsibility as a family here to bring these children up, praising your name and showing them who you are through our lives. It's an awesome responsibility, Father. Just help us with that. And we ask that we don't let the world influence them as much as it does, Father. In Psalms we read that one generation praises your works to the next. Just help us to do that, Father. Help us to show these guys who you are and that your Son came to die for us. And thank you, Father, for each one of these. So we pray in Jesus' name.
Okay, you guys hang here for just a minute, okay? You two elders can sit down, Warden Glenn and Brother Engel. I want you to stay with us here for just a minute, okay?
Sure.
Okay, can you hear me? I don't want you to forget where we're going. We're getting into the Bible. We're getting into the text. We're getting into God's Word. But I got a little illustration that I hope you enjoy, because I'm not really going to enjoy it that much. How many of you throw socks at each other once in a while? Are lacking in some fun. We grew up throwing socks at each other. I got a whole bag full of clean socks, okay? And I want Brother Engel to pass out these socks. Every kid is going to get a rolled up sock, okay? At each other growing up? I want y'all to all go home and get some socks and roll them up and throw them at each other. It's kind of fun. Man, I brought 25 pairs of socks. I hope that's enough. Did everybody get a sock? Was there enough socks?
Yeah, I got one.
I got one left over. Well, here, you hold that sock. You go over there, and I want you to keep the kids. Don't let them cross this line
okay. In
that direction.
Over here, buddy. There you go. Right over there. All right.
Now, I want you guys to do something with me. There's going to be two events, so when you get done, just listen to the instructions, okay? On the count of four, when Brother Engel counts to four, when he says four, I want all of you to take those socks and try to throw them at me and try to hit me. I'm not saying that you can, but try, okay?
Spread out a little bit. Spread out.
Oh, you got back. Pass that line. Back.
Go back to where you were. Okay? Funny.
listen to the sermon and see how this makes any sense from God's Word, okay? Because that's where we're going with this. If you have your Bibles, be opening to Romans chapter 8. We'll be in verse 26 through 39. Lead into our scripture here with saying that this world offers all kinds of hopes and dreams and ultimate protections, but you'll find no protection in this world. The only protection that you'll find that you should be concerned about is the protection of God. Okay? Let's read our text, verse 26 through 39. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all things we are overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Man, Romans is good. Chapter 8 is fantastic. Paul begins this section and he says, in the same way. Here is probably connected to the groanings in the previous verse. You remember last week we talked about the fact that creation was groaning, waiting for the revelations of the sons of God. And that we as Christians, we groan in an eager anticipation of heaven. And here, maybe it could be that in the same way refers to the fact that you're going to hear the Spirit groaning in just a minute. The text says that the Spirit groans with words too deep. Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That is, the Spirit of God lives inside of each of us. And the Spirit has a deep yearning, a deep groaning to want us to do God's will. And He is there, and the text says, we do not know what we should pray for. We don't know how to pray, as a matter of fact. It's probably quite understandable because we're humans. Sometimes we ask for things that we don't need. Sometimes we fail to ask for the very thing that we do need, right? When we get to talking to God, we don't always understand everything the way that we ought to. So we come up short sometimes. We fail in our prayers. God points that out. Sometimes we find ourselves in the pickles of life and we just don't even know what to say. Have you been there, church? Been there myself. So the Holy Spirit steps in these cases. He steps in when we don't know what to pray or we don't know how to pray. He steps in and He intercedes on our behalf. Because the Holy Spirit knows what we really need. When I think of this type of intercession, I think about when I was a child. I had a little rash on my right. It was right in here, between my thumb and my finger, you know. And it was small, and you know, I was just a kid, you know, it didn't bother me too much. And after 2 or 3 weeks, I noticed it getting a little bit bigger and scratchy, you know. So I went in. We had methylate. You remember that? They don't have it anymore, right? Because it had mercury in it. That was my cure-all as a kid. I painted that thing up, and boy, I was going to cure it. And here a month later, I still got this rash, but it's getting bigger. Now, let me just jump to the conclusion. I've been healed, okay? I want y'all to think I got something. Anyway, this thing just kept getting bigger and bigger, and we didn't have a lot of extra money. So I didn't want to say, hey, I need to go to the doctor, but I've got this, you know, this rash, and I'm itching and scratching, but it keeps getting bigger. A year goes by, and you're thinking, you got a rash for a year and you did nothing about it? This thing is still there and it's irritating me, right? And I don't know, I've tried everything. Creek water, mud, you name it, I tried it. Salt, anything. It didn't work. Well, a year later, my grandma says,
honey, let me see your hand.
She goes, oh, she said, you got a ringworm. She said, you take this medicine. Tenactin, I think. Rub it on there. A week later, it was gone. I suffered with this terrible thing for a year. And she put this stuff, she knew what I needed. I didn't know what I needed. You ever been there? Now, I thought I knew what I needed. I thought methylate. We call it monkey blood. If I didn't tell you that, you wouldn't know. Okay. So I thought I knew what I needed, and I kept going. How many of you keep going through life not getting it right? Don't we do that from time to time? And dear old grandma, bless her heart, she knew what I knew. Well, it's in the same way. The Holy Spirit knows what we need. It says when God searches our hearts, then He finds the proper request, because you know the Holy Spirit's kind of like the operator. You're talking on the phone, the operator cuts in. Hey, you got an emergency, you need to hang up and receive this call. You ever have an operator that butts into your phone conversation? Or maybe just a nosy neighbor who can't say hello to your conversation, you know, butts in? I've done that myself before, but you know what I'm saying? Well, the Holy Spirit sometimes jumps into your conversation. He may change your prayer. People say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Do you ever stop to think that maybe the Holy Spirit interceded on your behalf and made your prayer what it ought to be and that God did answer it? Maybe you're praying for a new bicycle and the Holy Spirit says, you don't need a new bicycle, you need a new Bible. When God searches our minds, then the proper request is found. Do you ever stop to think that? That the Holy Spirit may change your prayer, might add something to, might even take something away. So that when God searches our hearts, the proper thing will be found. Matter of fact, according to, what's it say? According to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is the promoter of God's will. Right? And the Holy Spirit works in our lives in the promotion of God's will. And when we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to ask for, He steps in and He helps us. according to the will of God. And it's no wonder, John chapter 16 and verse 7, that the Holy Spirit is called a parakletos in the Greek, which means helper. Point number one, the Holy Spirit is given to us by God as a helper on our behalf. Isn't that awesome? We are given help. Point number two, verse 28. We know that God works all things together for good to those that love God and who are called according to His purpose. To those that love God. That's a good place to start in this verse. Let me add my feeling about what this is saying. To those that are in love with God. You know, when you love, I love my power tools, but I'm not in love with them. They're objects to me. I think what Paul is telling us here is to those that are in love with God, those that have an intimacy between themselves and those that have built a relationship with God, to those people, to those that are invited, that is called, the text says those that are called according to His purpose. Call means to be invited or appointed according to His purpose. To those who have engaged in carrying out God's plan upon this earth, to these people, God causes all things to work together for good. Now let me say what the text does not say. The text does not say that everything will work out the way we want it. The text does not say that. Here's the idea that God will work to bring all things in our lives together for a collective good. All things might include some suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says that all that live a godly life will be persecuted. All things might include some discipline. How many of you like to get a spanking when you were a kid? How many of you kids like to get spankings? Just raise your hand. I see no kids' hands. Nobody likes to get spanked. You know what? All things, spiritually speaking, might include some discipline from God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says that God disciplines those whom He loves. Now there it is. When you're getting disciplined, you know that you're being loved. Maybe losses sometimes. God is aware of everything in our lives. God knows every little thing that goes on in your life. You know, sometimes we think that God is a distant God, that God lives out here in some corner of the universe and He just checks in once in a while to see how we're doing. That's not our God. God knows everything that's going on in your life. He's attentive. He understands what's happening. He knows your circumstances. He knows your hardship. He knows your personal struggles. He knows your perception, whether it's right or wrong. He knows you. And He knows me. But the good question, I think, to ask here is, will we trust Him? Will we give God our trust? Point number two is God works in our lives together for the good. Will we trust Him when things are going bad or things seem to be not the way we ought to, or we'd like it? Would we trust God that He's working that together for a collective good and toward a spiritual end? Or sometimes do we get caught up in the woe is me syndrome and I can only see just the immediate things that are happening around me and we lose that spiritual insight of the whole picture? If you're like me, I get cloudy vision sometimes and I forget. Point number three, verses 29 through 30 says that God foreknew us. And boy, I like that. I like the fact that I wasn't an unexpected child. You know, how many of you had a child that wasn't planned for, that it just, you know, kind of happened? You don't have to show your hands, but probably many of us, right? You may even be like, you know, I'm not even sure if I was playing for, not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, I can say, hey, not only was I planned, God knew about me in advance. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. Folks, that means that He knew you before He even made the world. Psalms 139 verse 13 talks about the fact that He knit us together in our mother's womb. God knew what size my right big toe needed to be, and He was there and He took part in making it the right size. Now, what does that tell you? You create stuff that's special to you, right? That's what we are as Christians. We're special because God made us. Isn't that exciting? I find that wonderful. We were planned for, and taking the next step, Paul says we were predestined. Not to the fact that we don't have choice. Let's don't get confused. But we were predestined in that we were pre-appointed. God had something in mind for us, and He put His will out there on our behalf so that we should turn to Him, that we should be a part of Him. His right path for us, He says, is to be conformed into the image of His Son. And He sent His Son to this earth to die on our behalf. You know, while we're taking the Lord's Supper, I can't help but think of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can't help but to think about the verses like 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And He says to us that we are to be conformed to that image. Jesus came here, He took on flesh, and He came with the purpose in mind of giving His life in our place. And God tells us, hey, you know, that's what I want you to conform into that image, into that likeness. I want you to be disciples of Jesus. I want you to follow His example. Jesus was here not just to offer a propitiation or atonement for our sins, but also to set an example for us. And here God says, you should conform to His image. You should be like Him. We sing a song, oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. Hey, isn't that what we're trying to do? Trying to be like Jesus? Point number three, God has given us an ultimate example. Are you getting the idea by these points that God wants us to succeed? He gives us a helper. He gives us an example. God is on our side, Christians. He wants us to succeed, and He's taken the nth degree to make sure that we're successful. Point number four. All you kids, are you listening? Point number four. Verse 31 and 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? Maybe here's the idea of, you know, if your big brother's standing beside you, you don't got a lot to be afraid of. But when God's standing beside you, how much more so? That's not to say that no one can potentially try to come against you. This verse is not to say if God's for us, who can be against us? Nobody can be against us because God's... And it's not saying that. There will be people in this world under the guise of Satan who will try to attack us, who will try to derail our spirituality. But the point here is that if God is for us, it don't matter because they're on the losing side and we're on the winning side. Do you like to win? Who in here likes to lose? Please, nobody raise your hand for emphasis' sake. Nobody did. Great. God, point number four. What point is this? That's point number four, yeah. Got to get the point right or you wouldn't get the lesson right. Point number four is God is our shield. He is our protector. He is our umbrella, if you will. When the problems and the trials and the tribulations of this life and the darts of Satan are coming against us, God is our refuge. Our spiritual umbrella by which when we stand behind, we don't got to worry about the rolled up socks of this life. Because generally, church, the rolled up socks of this life have not been washed. And they are stinky. In other words, the problems of this life create problems. And they're not fun to deal with in any means. Here we're also under this point of God being our shield and our protection. We're also reminded of the fact that God gave up all that He had on our behalf. And if He was willing to do that, He will also provide us everything we need to fight the battles of this life. He says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where He says, His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, we're lacking nothing. You all ever watch Indiana Jones? One of those Indiana Jones shows, there's a guy and he whips out these swords and man, it just scares you to death thinking about it. Well, what's old Indiana Jones do? Pulls out his gun and shoots him, right? Says, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Let me tell you what, church, spiritually speaking, God has armed us with everything we need. Are we still on the victory theme here, rolling through Romans chapter 8? Yeah. God has given... Isn't it nice to know, have you ever got somewhere and not had everything that you had in mind to have with you? And then you're coming up short and you're, how am I going to do this? I forgot. Spiritually speaking, we're not that way because God provides us everything. We don't come up shorthanded. We have everything that we need. God is our shield, and to this I'm thankful. Because I'm a big target. Not just physically, but sometimes mentally I can be a big target. Because I can be naive, I can speak when I ought not to speak. I can act and be a whole lot of things from a human standpoint. Sometimes I'm a pretty big moving target. God's a whole lot bigger shield than I am a target. And I'm thankful for that. In conjunction with this, I think Paul poses two questions. Fairly interesting. Verse 33 and 34. He says, now I want you to remember the Romans and the time that this was written. And the horrible persecution that was going on at the hand of Nero. They're suffering very big. He goes to verse 33 and he says, hey, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to bring a charge? Who's going to get us into a legal setting? Who's going to drag us in, kicking and screaming before a judge and make a charge against God's people? Against what? God's elect? The favored of God? Church, that's what we are as Christians. I like being favored, don't you?
Amen.
Especially by God. As a favored person of God, he says, who's going to bring a charge against you? Oh, here you get drug into the courtroom, you get accused of something, you might get battered and beat along the way, and you look up and, oh, hey, the judge is my father. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's a winning scenario, church. Nobody's going to bring an accusation and make it stick against a Christian. That's good news to me. Verse 34 goes on to say that, hey, even Jesus intercedes on our behalf. No, wait a minute. We've got the Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf. We've got Jesus interceding on our behalf. We got victory coming our way, don't we? This is one of the greatest texts I believe there is. Jesus even intercedes for us. Question number two that Paul poses, verse 35 and 36. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? I'm not sure I can fully wrap my mind around even the question itself. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? about distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril. What about even a sword? Can that separate us from the love of Christ? And the question is rhetorical. The answer is no, no, no. Nothing. No, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, is Paul's point. I'm going to conclude. We're running out of time, but I'm going to let Paul do the conclusion. Two parts. Verse 37. He says, "But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." In all things we overwhelmingly conquer. Conquer is a term that's applied to battle. We've got battles in this life, church. We've got spiritual battles. Now, I'm not talking about you balancing your checkbook. I want you to come with me into the spiritual arena. We have spiritual battles in our life every day. But in Christ Jesus, we more than conquer. We go beyond. We're not just victorious. We are greatly victorious, is the point. Man, you don't want to win by 2 points, do you? You want to win by about 40 or 50. Well, as Christians, we are overwhelmingly victorious in Christ. To which Paul wraps up by saying in verse 38 and 39. He says this. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, and nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Man, you talk about great, but church, these are external things. It doesn't mean that you can't make the choice to walk away from God. That's not what Paul's saying. The only thing that can separate you from God's love is your own choice. No external influence. Nothing can pry you away from God. If you choose to live in Him. And church, we are in the Lord if you're a member of the Lord's church. How do you become a member of the Lord's church? If you are baptized, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you are added to the Lord's church. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your sins are washed away. If you're not a part of that and you want to do so today, it's a wonderful opportunity. Maybe you've forgotten just how much help that God has put at your disposal. Maybe you have forgotten or taken for granted, even worse. Maybe you've taken for granted that God has done so much on your behalf. Today's a day of change, church. You wouldn't want to get past Romans chapter 8 without making a monumental decision in your heart to love God and be thankful and grateful for the victory that He has given us, because righteousness includes victory in God. If you have a need, would you come as we stand and sing?